Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water.
Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth? It will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water.
Shalom, shalom, grace and peace, everyone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Grace
Man
and shalom,
amen.
Grace and peace. Shalom, shalom, grace and peace, grace and peace. Hallelujah. Welcome, welcome, fam. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Amen.
Amen. Shalom.
How you doing there, girl?
Hey, grace and peace, Brother Paul. Grace and peace. Shalom, shalom. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Brother Job Israel of the Commonwealth of Israel. And tonight we have the Fellowship of the Spirit Bible study class with your Brother Paul Mazaluski from the Fellowship of Spirit. And tonight's precept is prove all things. Prove all things. And prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Paul, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. You can't go wrong with that. Prove all things. Brothers and sisters, without further ado, we're going to turn this over to our brother Paul. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Job. Welcome, sisters and brothers. How's everyone doing tonight?
Blessed.
Good.
Praise God in Jesus' name. I got Brother Eric Burkholz going to be reading from Open Arms up in Wisconsin, Berlin, Wisconsin.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And, amen, Brother Eric. Welcome to the family,
us.
Brother. Welcome to the family of the Sounds of Living Water.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Peace.
Shalom.
Go ahead, and we're going to get right into this period of instruction. It's something real simple I put together. It's just called Prove All Things. It's an older lesson, and that's the beauty of this. I've been looking into my repertoire, if you will, and it's about time. It's been about 3 or 4 years since I dug some of these lessons out, and I, as a teacher, as some of you know, when you start going back to some of the older lessons, it's an easy Sabbath or an easy lesson prep because you already got the precept down and you've already taught it before. So what we're going to do with this precept anyway is we're just going to talk about proving all things, and we're going to let the book kind of tell us a little story about the proving all things, how we go about proving all things, why we prove all things, and we'll just take it from there. So let's start this off in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, like Brother Job said. We're going to go cut right to the title of this lesson in the scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're going to start this at verse 14. 5 and verse 14. Brother Eric, you want to kick this lesson off, brother?
Okay. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men,
uh-huh,
seeing that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men.
That's just the daily walk. He's telling us we're supposed to be loving each other and taking care of each other, not only among ourselves, but to all men, because that's our light, that wisdom of our service to this great and mighty God. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 16.
Amen.
Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
And again, that's just our daily walk. Go ahead and continue.
Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying.
Quench not the spirit, not only the spirit of what we're receiving when we're listening to someone teach, but quench not the spirit also within ourselves, the withholding of actually bringing in what's being taught and taking a look at it without prejudice. And prejudice just means a preconceived idea. So we want to be open-minded. We don't want to quench that spirit. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good.
So we don't despise the prophesyings. We actually sit and listen to it, and then we prove all things, and we hold fast to only that which is good. What do we abstain from, brother? Go ahead.
Abstain from all appearance of evil.
It doesn't say abstain from evil. It says abstain from all appearance of evil. Anything that even looks wicked, you put it to the side until you can prove it. Go ahead, brother.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, this is Paul being a watchman, and he's warning these people. He's warning them from who? From the Lord. Go ahead, brother.
I think that's the last one. One more?
Go ahead. One more verse, brother.
Verse 24, faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it.
Yes, sir. And we're supposed to be what? Christ-like, that mind of Christ?
Yes, sir.
To be faithful in everything that we do. Let's go to 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter. 2 Kings.
Amen.
23. How do we abstain from all appearance of evil?
Amen.
Let's find out. Let's go to 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter. 2 Kings 23, and brother, we're going to pick this up at verse 21, and you're going to read through 25. 23 and 21, go ahead, brother, when you get there.
And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant.
As it is written in the book of this covenant. First five books of the law. Some say it's the whole entire book of the law. I think it's only part of it. But it is inclusive, the first five books of this Bible, as being the book of the law, or what some of us know as the Torah. Go ahead, brother.
Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah.
Uh-huh.
But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem.
And that's good. We're going to stop that right there. And he did it according to what? As it was written in the book of the covenant, and there wasn't a Passover like this held in so long, because it was held actually in Jerusalem. Let's go to 1 Kings, the second chapter. Let's go to 1 Kings, the second chapter. Back it up one book. 1 Kings 2. 1 Kings 2. And we're just going to read a couple verses right off the bat. Let's read 1 through 3. 1 Kings, the second chapter, and start us off at verse 1, Brother Eric. Whenever you're ready, bro.
Okay. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying,
what are we supposed to do when we get this word and we get understanding? We're supposed to teach our children and our children's children, are we not? Well, there's no doubt that David, being a king, having to write himself a book of the law as commanded by the Lord, that he didn't teach his children, because he did. But now he's got a warning for his son. He's that watchman. He's going to warn him from the Lord. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 2. I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man.
Uh-huh.
And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself.
As it is written in the law of Moses. That's how we abstain from all appearance of evil. As it is written in the law, that's what we do. Let's go to Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua 1. Joshua 1. And brother, we're going to pick this up at verse 6. Joshua 1 and verse 6. Whenever you're ready, brother.
Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them.
And that's what we get every Sabbath day. We get our strength renewed and we get our courage checked so that we can continue another 6 or 7 days and we can come right back and do it all over again. Go ahead, brother.
Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whatsoever thou goest.
And we're not supposed to turn from this law at all in anything that's absolute. And the law is absolute. The Lord has given us enough that's absolute that we have a right to the tree of life if we endure until the end. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, for thou shalt meditate therein.
The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. And the New Testament backs that up. When everything that we say is supposed to be spoke, and everything we do is supposed to be done to the edifying of others. Go ahead, brother.
But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
And we're supposed to meditate on this day and night. In other words, everything we say and do to the best of our ability is supposed to be centered around being Christ-like. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whatsoever thou goest.
And sometimes that's the greatest comfort I have, is knowing that the Lord is with me, especially when I'm in that boat and the waves are coming over the side and the water's filling up and everything. It's hard when you're going through tribulations to remember this. But when you do, when you finally get that moment of clarity, either in the morning when you wake up and you're doing your prayer meditation, or at night before you go to bed or whatever, you're over there and you're praying and you're looking back at your day and how well you served him that day, and you're praying and meditating on it, and all of a sudden you get that clarity that the Lord is always with you, and it brings about that peace. Let's go to Luke, the second chapter. Luke, the second chapter. Luke 2. And we're going to pick this up at verse 22. Luke 2. And verse 22. 2 and verse 22. When you get there, brother, go ahead and read.
And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished.
According to the what?
Law of Moses.
To the law of Moses. Okay, go ahead, brother.
They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord.
Yes, sir. Go ahead and continue.
As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens up.
It is written in the law of the Lord, the law of Moses, the law of the Lord,
yes,
one
sir.
And the same. Go ahead, brother.
Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord.
Yes, sir. Go ahead and continue.
And
one more verse.
and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.
So everything that we do should be done according to the law of the Lord. And we understand that we're under the new covenant, that we don't sacrifice animals anymore, and we don't have a flesh and blood priesthood at this time. It's been, if you will, put on a shelf until return of Jesus, until the return of our Messiah. Then, once the Lord returns and gathers his saints to live and reign with him for 1,000 years, he'll reinstitute that priesthood. But right now, we don't have that priesthood. But what we do have is still the law of the Lord, the same law that was given to Moses. And it's expounded upon in the New Testament. That's why you have to have some understanding. But you know what? Everyone needs to be taught, but I'm getting a little ahead of ourselves. Let's see. We're proving all things, abstaining from all appearance of evil. We do that by obedience to the law.
Yes, sir.
How, we don't know the law, though. So what do we do? Let's go to Proverbs, the 8th chapter. Proverbs, the 8th chapter. Proverbs 8. And, of course, most of us listening today, we're grounded and rooted in the Word, but I'm talking about the average person. What if you don't know the law? What do you do? What if you're a Sunday Christian and you happen upon this radio station today and for some reason you just stick with it and then you start looking at the schedule and you start listening and listening and all of a sudden you're intrigued by this and you start listening, just like all of us when we first came into this. Proverbs, the 8th chapter. Proverbs, the 8th chapter. So we know we got to abstain from evil, and we know we got to do that by keeping the law, but what do we do if we don't know the law? One verse, 8 and 17, brother, go ahead.
I love them that love me.
Yes, sir.
And those that seek me early shall find me.
Those that seek me early shall find me.
Yes,
you
sir.
Seek him. And usually starts with prayer, and the Lord will lead you from there. But you seek the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah, the 34th chapter. How do you seek the Lord? Let's go to Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34. Brother, we're going to read one verse, 34 and verse 16. 34 and 16. This is how you seek the Lord. Go ahead, brother.
Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read.
Seek out of the book of the Lord and read. Pick up this Bible and dust it off and open up this cover and start in the beginning if you must. Or just go to the Proverbs. Start reading a proverb a day. 31 Proverbs, most months, 31 days. If you've got shorter months, you'll figure out what to do with them couple of extra Proverbs at the end. Start with a proverb a day. Then you can add a proverb and a couple of psalms a day. But the key being you're in the book. You're seeking out of the book of the Lord and reading.
Sure.
Finish that verse, brother.
No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it had commanded, and his spirit it had gathered them.
Yes, sir. And we're not concerned with the second half of that verse today.
Yeah.
Let's go to Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans 10. So we know we got to abstain from all appearance of evil. We do that by keeping the law. And we seek the Lord with everything we got by reading his word. Romans 10. Romans 10. But here's the thing, sisters and brothers. You just open up your book and start reading and you know nothing. There's no little Holy Ghost that's going to come and talk to you while you're reading your book one morning. Everybody has to be taught by somebody. It starts, you get some understanding with the Holy Spirit, but then you've got to be able to have an elder to seek wise counsel. You have to have someone that has understanding that you can bounce things off of as you're coming into it.
Yes,
you can't just sit on your own, read the book for 15 years, and now you're some kind of pastor or something. Everything has to be taught.
Yes, sir.
It's not a doctrine that those of us that are Bible Christians learn. What we learn is how to rightly divide God's word.
Amen.
Romans 10 and verse 14, brother, go ahead.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
How are you going to call upon the Lord when you haven't believed on the true and living God? You got a conception of the Lord, but it's not the one of his word, I can almost guarantee it. Every one of us, when we first came into the uncut word, as we like to say, or the truth of the gospel, we had a different conception, and when we opened up this book, it blew us away. Go ahead and continue, brother.
And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
Huh?
And how shall they hear without a preacher?
How are you going to believe on the Lord when you haven't heard about him? And how are you going to hear about him unless somebody teaches you? Skip down to 17 and continue, brother.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Faith comes by hearing because faith is belief. And when you hear it and you believe it, you either become obedient to it or you reject it. And those of us that are servants of the Most High God, this great God of Israel, we've accepted everything. And we've grown to a point, or we're growing to a point, where it's without personal consequences. But that hearing has to come by the word of God. It can't come from someone just standing up at the rostrum or the podium, and they're just giving you their own ideas, or they're giving you their own interpretation of Scripture. Scripture interprets Scripture.
Yes, sir.
All it takes is for you to understand how to rightly divide this word as someone is teaching you the precepts upon precept. But we'll get into that in a minute. Let's go to Acts, the 8th chapter. Let's get an example of someone being taught this word. Acts, the 8th chapter. Acts 8. And, brother, let's pick it up at verse 29. 8 and 29. Go ahead.
Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot.
Now, Philip was on his way back from Jerusalem, and the Lord told him to join himself to this chariot where an Ethiopian man was sitting, and he was reading. So Philip got the commandment from the Spirit to go and to join himself to the chariot, and that's what he's going to do. Go ahead, brother.
And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me?
Isn't that what the word of God just told us in Romans, the 10th chapter? Go ahead, brother.
And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Verse 32, and the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.
So he's reading, this is what the eunuch's reading. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this of himself, or of some other man?
So now he's already told him, I can't understand this unless somebody's going to teach me, and now he's seeking wise counsel. He's saying, hey, man, who's he talking about here? Go ahead, brother.
Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
So Philip started teaching him right out of the very scriptures that he was reading, all about Messiah. Go ahead, brother.
And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?
Now, he's taught this eunuch, and they come across water, and now this eunuch wants to get baptized. Now, I can almost guarantee you, if Philip didn't take him to a few other places, maybe all they had was the book of Isaiah, he certainly was quoting other places to show that Jesus was the Messiah. He probably took him to how he would be born in Bethlehem and all kinds of other scriptures. If he didn't have that book, at least he was probably quoting these other places because he wanted to make sure that this brother knew who the Messiah was and what this was talking about in Isaiah. Go ahead, brother.
And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son
yes,
of God.
Sir.
Went ahead and he baptized him because that's what it was all about. It was believing in that prophet like unto Moses, our Messiah, and answering that call daily by putting ourselves down and picking up our cross and walking according to the way he walked. Let's continue. Let's go to Isaiah, the 28th chapter. Isaiah, the 28th chapter. So how do we get understanding if we're going to read this book on our own? We start reading the book. We've got a teacher. This teacher starts teaching us. Isaiah 28. There is great benefit to expository teaching. You can go right through the Gospels, take like our brother Bob does, and take a couple of chapters and break it down for a Sabbath lesson, and that is off the chain. But you notice when he's doing that, he's still taking precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, because that's how we get understanding. Isaiah 28 and 1 verse, verse 10, brother, go ahead.
For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little.
Because all precepts roll together. One precept rolls right into the next precept.
Yep.
Line upon line, we're reading the scripture straight through and we're going here a little and there a little. And the reason we go here a little and there a little is that's how the Bible explains itself. When you have two different prophets or a disciple and a couple of prophets or whatever, and they're talking about the same prophecy or the same event that may be coming true and happening now. Because by the mouth of two or three witnesses is a matter or a fact
established.
And the book always establishing its facts and its matters continually in all precepts. And that's how it does it. Go back to the New Testament. Let's go to Matthew, the seventh chapter. Matthew, the seventh chapter. Matthew 7. So we're being taught. We're getting understanding. We're reading the book like it's supposed to be read. Either we're getting up in the morning, we're reading it straight through. When we find a place that piques our interest, we put a marker. We chase that precept down until we're satisfied we've got an answer. Or the Lord's withholding it from us for a while for whatever reason. Then we go back, we start reading again. Or you're doing lessons in the morning or at night or whatever during your private time with God. You're doing different lessons and stuff. Or you're just reading straight through and just reading and reading and soaking it up and praying and meditating on different precepts as they come up. But you're seeking the Lord. But the Lord wants us to do something too. He wants us to beware of certain people. Matthew 7, and pick it up at verse 15, brother. 7 and 15, go ahead.
Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad
Matthew
is the way.
Verse 15. I'm sorry, if I put 14 when I sent that to you, I meant 15.
15?
Go
okay,
ahead, bro.
Beware of false prophets,
uh-huh,
which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves.
Oh, wow. Now we got to contend with people bringing us false doctrine, trying to throw us off our game, trying to take our crown. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits.
Oh, man, thank God at least we got a way of identifying these false prophets. We know them by their fruits and by the doctrine that they're teaching. That's what that means, by their fruits. Go ahead, brother.
Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?
Yes, sir. Let's jump ahead to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, read verse 11 and 12, brother, and then we're going to skip down. Matthew 24 and verse 11, whenever you get there, brother.
And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many.
Many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Go ahead, brother.
And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's got a couple of interpretations there, but the main one is the love of many shall wax cold. They're going to wax cold toward loving God. They're going to wax cold toward God. They're going to be turned on to these false doctrines. Skip down to 23 and continue, brother.
Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. 24, for there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
If it were possible, these false prophets would deceive the very elect. But it's not possible, because we're seeking the Lord. We're seeking him out of his word. We're taking hold of our understanding, and we're responding by doing what the Lord is telling us to do. But now we got to beware of these false prophets. Let's go to Exodus, the 32nd chapter. Why we got to beware of these false prophets? What could be the harm of them bringing some kind of lovey-dovey Sunday stuff or whatever the doctrine is that they might be bringing? As long as they're fearing God, apparently by going to church on whatever day they worship and everything, they should be straight, right? Exodus, the 32nd chapter. Exodus 32. Exodus 32. And, brother, we're going to read verses 32 and 33. Exodus 32 and 32, brother, whenever you're ready, go ahead.
Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written.
So now, Israel always falling short in the wilderness. This time, Moses stood up and said, you know what, forgive them, Lord. If not, blot me out of your book that you've written of those that are going to get eternal life. They're going to make the kingdom. And what does the Lord say, brother? Go ahead.
And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book.
And the Lord said, no, no, Moses, it's the one that sinned against me I'm going to blot out of my book. But what's the point we're making here? You can get taken out of the book of life, sisters and brothers, because you've got to endure until the end. Let's go to Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation 3. All the way at the end. Revelation 3. You want to know the end? You got to go to the beginning. You want to know about Revelation? Start in Genesis 1 and 1. Revelation 3 and 1 verse, brother, verse 5, 3 and 5. Go ahead, brother.
He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess
overcometh
his name.
Overcometh is the same thing as enduring until the end. Go ahead.
But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
He says, if you overcome, if you endure, you're going to be clothed in white raiment. You're going to be counted as righteous under that shed blood of Messiah. And you're not going to get your name blotted out of the book of life. And the Messiah, Christ Jesus, he's going to confess your name before the Father and before his angels. This is Brother Paul. This is one of my friends, Father. He's going to live and reign with me. That's what we want to hear. Not be gone, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. We don't want to hear that. That's that wrong spirit here and in this proving ground we call life. That's the wrong spirit that gets that said to him. We want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's continue. Let's go to Psalm, the 69th chapter. Psalm 69. Psalm 69. And I should have told you, sisters and brothers, but those that know me or that heard me last week, I try to keep everything to within an hour. So we're right on track. We got about 20
more
minutes.
We're right on
script.
Time, brother. You're good doing
we
you're
can
doing
open
good.
It up. Psalm 69, brother. And one verse, verse 28. 69 and 28. Go ahead.
Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous.
Talking about being blotted out of the book. This is those that are found to be filled with iniquity or sin. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Let's go back to Revelation, this time the 13th chapter. Yeah, it would have been easier to go Revelation to Revelation, but then you're not getting a workout in the book. We're working out more than just trying to get some knowledge here. We're working out when we do these studies because we're going from
yes,
book
sir.
To book. We're learning where the books are. We're learning how to get there. I still don't know the books as far as from Genesis to Revelation by reciting them straight through, but my children
nope.
can. I've seen a lot of children at the classes that can. I must be dyslexic or something. I don't know. Revelation 13, brother, and let's pick this up at verse 5. We're going to read through verse 8. 13 and 5.
Yeah.
Go ahead, brother.
And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months.
This is that abomination of desolation as spoken of by Daniel the prophet. For 3.5 years, he's going to cause havoc on earth for the saints. And everyone else is going to think, oh, look at all the peace. No more war in Afghanistan or Iraq. None of that stuff going on no more, because there's our Messiah sitting over there in Jerusalem. And it's going to be the abomination of desolation or the Antichrist. And we won't get into all the teaching on who it is and all that. We're not concerned with that. Go ahead and continue, brother.
And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheming his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven.
Uh-huh.
And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations.
That so-called New World Order, where everyone's on the same page, everyone's at peace, everyone's happy.
Yep.
Those that are fearing God and keeping his commandments, you're running for your life if you don't make the wilderness. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life.
Them that dwell upon the earth whose names are not written in the book of life shall worship him. Go ahead, brother.
Of the lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Wow, there's another precept. That's a good lesson there. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
But it's those that are not written in the book of life are going to worship the abomination of desolation, and he's going to tell you to go after the saints, and they're going to be going after the saints, and the saints are going to be running for their life during this 42 months or 3.5 year tribulation. Let's go to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. So, what do we do? What do we do? We're reading the book. We're being taught by somebody. We're learning how to rightly divide. We got all these different people teaching all over the internet. Every doctrine from Sunday doctrines to you name it, you're getting it. What's a person to do? All we want to do is fear you, Lord. We're reading your book, but what do we do now? 1 John 4:1, brother, verse 1, 4:1. Go ahead.
Beloved, believe not every spirit.
Uh-huh.
But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Jesus warned us about that in so many places, these false prophets.
Yes,
and
sir.
Now we have to try these spirits. Oh, my goodness, I'm getting so confused if I'm not a servant of the Most High God with understanding. How do I try these spirits? Let's go to Acts, the 17th chapter.
Yes, sir.
Acts the 17th chapter. We need to try these spirits. The book tells us to try these spirits. It says that these false prophets could deceive the very elect if it were possible. But here's why it's not possible. Acts 17 and verse 10, brother. 17 and 10. Go ahead.
And the brethren immediately sat away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews.
They go into the synagogue in Berea. Go ahead.
These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind.
In other words, they're not despising prophecies. They're listening to the prophesying,
yes,
to the teaching. They're soaking it in. There's Sunday Christians that teach such spiritual lessons, you would never know they were Sunday Christians until they mentioned Sunday or Christmas. And they're so deep. Remember, they could deceive the very elect if it were possible, but you're going to receive this with readiness of mind. You're going to listen. And then what are you going to do? Go ahead, brother.
And they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so.
So the scripture is the final authority. You hear the prophesying or the teaching, and then you go to the book and see if the book backs the teaching. Because if the book doesn't back the teaching, you're being deceived. But if you are striving to be the very elect, the Lord is not going to allow you to be deceived. Because you're in his book, you're praying, you're meditating, you're in his word. You're over there and you got people that are teaching you if you lack an understanding in an area. And trust me, we all lack understanding in some areas. I'm always seeking wise counsel. I don't have this all right. If I did, you'd be watching me every Sabbath on NBC at 8 o'clock. Hey, Brother Paul's on. Going to teach us how to get salvation again. This isn't my message. Let's continue. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. You're going to receive what you're getting, and then you're going to search the scriptures daily and see if what that is being taught, if it's true. And if it's not true, what are you going to do? You're going to abstain from that appearance of evil. Because our job is to do and teach the law, because that is the way back to the tree of life. Deuteronomy 12 and one verse, brother, verse 32. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 32. Whenever you're ready, brother.
What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add.
The Lord's talking to Moses, and Moses is going ahead, and he's teaching the people. Go ahead.
Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it.
Command it. Don't add to my law, and don't take away from it. Go to Proverbs, the 30th chapter, brother. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. And read verses 5 and 6, brother. 5 and 6. Go ahead.
Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
Amen. Go ahead, bro.
Verse 6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar.
Add not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. All those teachers that are out there listening today, if there is any out there, you know how it is when you slip from the podium and someone brings it to you, and then you have to go back and correct it? We've all done it when we were young in the world.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, now it may slip out. Something might slip out, you need to go back and correct. It's humbling to go in front of someone you're teaching that's depending on you to bring it straight and tell them you were wrong, that you taught them an error. But yet we do it because why? Because we don't want to add or take away. We take what the Lord says very seriously. That's why when false prophets are up there and they're teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching, and that coffer's filling up, and you bring them the truth, and if they see it, now they got to go and they got to correct all them lies they've been teaching. That's a hard thing to do. But there are a few that will follow through on that path because they've been called and they want to do their very best to fear God and keep his commandments. Get that right back to the tree of life. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, and let's pick this up at verse 14, brother. You're going to read 14 and 15. Go ahead, brother.
Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers.
Uh-huh.
Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
You're going to get understanding. You're going to put this in the remembrance of the people that you're teaching, whether you're a sister teaching someone across a kitchen table or a children's class, or you're a brother doing the same thing, or you're standing up at the rostrum or the podium and you're teaching, that the Lord has blessed you enough to put that spirit on you so he can take you and put that spirit on others. And it's a very clear commandment on what we're supposed to do. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, any place that you go and sit down, you're going to get some type of doctrine. God's word is a religion and a doctrine. it's what it is. But when you're getting it straight, the truth, and it's uncut, and it's coming straight from him, and you're praying and meditating on it, and you're not just being satisfied with the first understanding you get, but you're tearing into these precepts, and you're making sure the ones that are absolute, that they're airtight so you can teach them, and you can teach others how to get the right to the tree of life. And you're studying to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's go to Proverbs, the 12th chapter. Proverbs, the 12th chapter. So now you're going to get to a point, sisters and brothers, where you're going to be listening to the teacher, the man that's either opened your heart or the one that the Lord was given to put in front of you, has given you, and he's teaching you, and all of a sudden you're going to get to a point and you go, wait a second, man. He said that must have slipped because I read it like this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden the Lord starts opening your heart and you start seeing some of the things that he's teaching are his own persuasion or understanding. And now you got two things in front of you. You got what the Lord is showing you, and you got something else that you're hearing, and you're really not quite sure on what to do. Proverbs 12 and verse 15, brother, 12 and 15. Go ahead.
The way of a fool is right in his own eyes.
Huh?
But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise.
And sisters and brothers, it doesn't matter. If you're not satisfied with the counsel you get, you take it to an elder and you're getting the same thing and you're seeing something different, you keep praying and meditating on it, and the Lord's going to put someone in front of you that you can seek wise counsel from.
Yes,
it'll
sir.
Happen. But the Lord is not here to trip us up, sisters and brothers. He's here to prove our hearts. My complete understanding on certain things might be totally against your complete understanding on certain things, but I guarantee you that's not something that's absolute. That's what I call like a gray area, like which moon is the new moon. Pick one of three.
Right.
And there's a little something probably to back them all up. There's only one that I found that's got scripture, but there's a little something to back them all up. Okay? So why are we going to fall out over something like that? It's not absolute. But the things that are absolute are the things we're supposed to gravitate to, and that's that one spirit that we're supposed to have, that one mind in Christ. And sometimes we get that through seeking wise counsel. We get understanding on certain things by seeking wise counsel. He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Let's go to the 27th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. 27 and read verse 9, brother. 27 and 9. Go ahead.
Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel.
So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. That's how we get understanding in certain areas. It's by bouncing stuff off of each other. Jump down to 17 and read that, brother. Go ahead.
Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend.
All of us know the joy of sitting down in a room with people that have some understanding and cracking this
book.
Yes,
sir.
No joy in the world that comes to that. Out of all the joys that I've experienced in my short time on this earth, there's nothing that comes even close to getting some understanding and putting that into practice. Let's go to Romans, the 14th chapter, and then we have one place after that. Romans, the 14th chapter. Romans 14. Romans 14 and one verse, brother. 14 and verse 5. 14 and 5. Go ahead.
Okay. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind.
And I know exactly what this is all talking about, but what I'm looking for is let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Because if you're not, you're not walking in your faith, you're walking in somebody else's faith. And that's not going to get you across the street when it comes to getting into the kingdom. Walk according to your persuasion, according to the way you've got the understanding. But you got to prove it all first. You got to listen to it, and you got to let the scripture determine whether it's true or not.
Right.
And once you see and you're persuaded, those, what I call them, gray areas, you need to step out and walk in your understanding on them. The absolutes, we already know what we got to do with those. Let's end this in Revelation, the 22nd chapter. One final warning from our Lord and our God about proving all things. Revelation 22. And read 18 and 19, brother, and then we'll call this lesson a night. Go ahead, brother.
For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book.
And that's the challenge of every one of us, is we rightly divide this word, not adding or taking away, to the best of our ability.
Yep.
Now, sometimes we might see someone with a certain doctrine and think he's adding or taking away. But then again, when he's looking at your faith and your walk, he could be thinking the same thing about certain areas. But if
right.
it's not an absolute, like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not work on the Sabbath day, if it's not an absolute, don't trip. That's between him and God. He's still your brother or she's still your sister. They're still keeping the Sabbath and the feast days and the dietary law and everything that's absolute right alongside you. Maybe before the Lord returns, he'll put you both on the same page in one of them gray areas. Maybe he won't. But when he does return, those that fear him and keep his commandments with the right spirit, everything will be known to you then.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Go ahead and finish that, brother.
And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book.
So, sisters and brothers, that is prove all things. I thank you for the opportunity to rightly divide God's word, and I hope somebody got something from these scriptures.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Somebody, man, I would say somebody needs to get some to put that fire out, but that ain't something we do around here, around the people of God. You want to be on fire. Amen to that. Amen to that. Great, great, great precept.
Great.
100%, man. Great reading, Eric, man. Right on there, keeping the brother in, keeping him right on money, and keeping him on fire and on time. Paul be blazing through them scripts. You know, every time I know, he don't take a breath. If you blink, you miss it. Will was like, what script did he read? I'm like, you know, we had to catch up, you know. But, hey, man, look, if I can add a little bit to this, I just want to go in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And it says this. He said 12 and 9, he said, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that was written was upright, even words of truth. So this is what
Amen.
You do.
Yeah,
you
man.
Prove all things. You seek out the word of God. You seek out those things that's acceptable, and you make sure that they acknowledge. And then he said this. He said, the words of the wise are as gold as nails fastened by the master of assembly, and which are given from one shepherd, which is Jesus Christ. So if the Father is dealing with you, you're not all over the place. You're not talking about, okay, I'm dealing with the baptism, but you're dealing with the abomination of making desolate. You're dealing with going to heaven. You're dealing with the Sabbath day. You're dealing with everything. And you're dealing with, no, you stay right there on point with the Lord has you. This lesson was straight on point from go. You understand? And all you have to do is just sit down with a pen, piece of paper. My wife, she wrote down every script. I'm going to tell you. You can't go wrong if you really. This is when you know you, the Spirit is dealing. When somebody give a lesson and they not teaching it, but you can go and read it and understand what the person is saying, you know that's from the spirit. That's when you know it's the spirit. That's how you get it out this book. This is how we get it from the word of God. When you read it, all these brothers and all these prophets and even our elder moms, they had the word of God in order. So when they spoke, it made sense. They wasn't out of order. Order. So you gotta show yourself. You gotta study to show yourself approved. One more place, man. Proverbs 22:17. It says this. It says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thy ear unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou would keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known unto thee, even to thee, have I not written to thee excellent things in counsel and in knowledge? That I might make thee know the certainty of words of truth, that thou mayest answer the words of truth to them that sin unto thee." So it ain't just for you. You gotta make sure when the Lord put it in your mouth, it gotta make sense. And then on top of that, he gonna send people to get it from you so they can save themselves. Great lesson, brother. 100.
Praise
great
be to
lesson.
God, brother.
Love it.
Yeah, praise be to
love
God, Ben.
Praise God. Great job, Ed. Any more comments or questions? I don't know. I smell that too.
I have a question.
Go ahead, sister.
Like I said, I really enjoy the blog talk, and I'm all for like bridging, you know, the gap. And I really would like to try and bridge the gap of this animosity for the church. I mean, you know what I mean? It's very uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Really.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I hear a lot of remarks regarding the quote of the church. I don't know what that means. Because at my church, we have the King James version, the, you know, Bible. That's what we read. So I help me. Please help me.
Okay. And just for those of us that don't know my sister Doris, man, she do go, if I'm not mistaken, you do attend church on Sunday. Am I right or wrong? Hey, no, I was asking a question. If I'm not mistaken, you attend church on Sunday, yes or no?
Are you talking to Sister Doris?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm brought in.
Right. That's what we was getting at. And, you know, and I get that, and I see what you're saying. And, you know, I myself coming out of from that background, part of my background being there, I was born and raised as Jehovah Witness. But when the Lord started sending me out, I went into, I searched out Pentecostal, and I saw that Baptist, and then, you know, I just said, you know, hey, man, I'm just going to wait until the Father, you know, show me his truth. And I was taught that mannerism. You know, I was taught that, you know, everybody else in the churches and all this type of stuff is cut off and this, that, and the other, and that only us keeping the Sabbath days is going to get saved and things like that. And we forget, you know, that a lot of times we throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, a lot of these churches do have gift for healing. You know, you can't say they don't, because the gifts are without repentance. A lot of them had a gift of a lot of different ministries of the Spirit. And the Lord tell you that they are his churches. You know, and whether a preacher is a good one or a bad one, they still belong to God. And he can open their mouth at any time to speak his word, because the word of God is in them, whether or not if he living it or not. You see, so I get what you're saying, sister, and I understand that. And I myself, for one, I try to teach this, is that everybody got to come and start somewhere. And me, myself, I don't like to make fun of people that's in churches, even when I see a lot of, you know, buffoonery or whatever, you know, when you see, I mean by that, you know, you got a baby preaching, you know. The Lord said, no, you got to be 30 years old to preach the gospel, and he don't deal with nobody else other than that in the pulpit, you know, so forth. So when you start dealing with things like that, then you excuse yourself. But my take on it is that none of those things to me is funny, because I got family that still go to churches, and I got family, my first members, my immediate members of my family go to churches on Sundays. My immediate members.
Well, that's why I said I'm trying to bridge the gap. There's no need to, you don't have to walk on no eggshells for me. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Whatever your feeling is, I'm just saying, you said come out, so that means like it's wrong. Now, do you have to use the scripture to prove that, or can you just, or is it just a feeling?
No. See, the thing is what we've used, and I'm gonna turn this over to Paul, because he's the one that is actually bringing this up. This is his moment, his hour. But I'm just saying, as far as I'm concerned, as far as what we deal with, I don't look for somebody to say they go to church on Sunday. I don't look for people to say that they eat pork or they celebrate Christmas. I look for the Jesus in them, because that's, to me, that's stony ground. I can't sow seed on stony ground. That's where the devil's at. What I look from somebody is, well, they say, well, the kingdom of God is going to be on earth. Well, that's where Jesus Christ is at. I go there and agree with the Spirit. You see, so if I show myself friendly first and agree with the Spirit first, that's there, because the Lord said he's the light of every man. You have to be patient enough to wait until that light is revealed to you, and then you address the light, not the darkness, because you're a child of the light. Okay, so when you deal with people that's in that manner, I'm just saying, this is what worked for me. If you see them, they celebrate Christmas, they eat in pork, don't say nothing about that, you know, because the Lord is going to deliver them. But if they say, they just say, well, you know, Jesus said we ain't going to heaven, and earth is going to be, the meat going to inherit the earth, you go right there. You say, that's right, let's read that in a book and open that book up. Once you get them with the Spirit open, now you can deal with everything else, and you let them testify themselves and let them judge themselves. Don't you be the judge. You let them judge themselves. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but do you agree that there is a anti-type and there's also a prototype? Do you agree with that, yes or no?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, so instead of focusing on the, what, is it a prototype? I'm just saying, now, Christmas and Easter had to derive from somewhere. So in the beginning, it had to be, you know what I mean, pure, right? Now, with me, explain to people, okay, you want, if they want to harp on Christmas, they can. But you can go into the book of Esther and see where what you guys are talking about Christmas. If you read the book of Esther, you'll see that Christmas is very similar to what you guys scoff at. Now, you can scoff on the pagan part of it, and you can also go into the Bible and show them the anti-type, you know what I mean? And Easter, we know that's called what? Pascha? You know what I mean? It's not like it doesn't exist. There is a pure form. So maybe if y'all focus to us on the pure form of where we get it from or where it comes from, that might be a little more helpful.
Brother Paul?
You know, and I kind of see the point that the sister's making, but here's the thing, as a teacher of the Word of God, you try to bring, at least I try to bring all my lessons with meekness and humility, because when I first got to the classes, I got caught up with that making fun of Armstrong and all that junk, and as I grew spiritually, I saw that the Lord does not want us to be like that. He wants us to teach with meekness and humility. And he wants us to teach others with the right spirit and how to have the right spirit. But in teaching lessons, when you are teaching a lesson, there's a lot of truth out there that is just understood as being straight, concrete truth. And for those that have some understanding, a lot of that truth is milk, like the keeping of Christmas and Easter being pagan. We may bring it up in a lesson that's got nothing to do about Christmas and Easter, but it's no different than bringing up the definition of sin or how the Lord doesn't hear the prayers of the wicked or even how the Lord said that those that don't know the law but keep the law are a law unto themselves. And that's not talking about taking down the Christmas tree or not throwing the eggs in the yard in the middle of April. That's talking about the loving your neighbor as yourself.
Well,
so there is certain validity.
Do you celebrate Purim? Do you celebrate Purim?
I only celebrate what the Lord's commanded me to celebrate. I do not celebrate Purim.
Is that not one of the feast days?
No, ma'am. The feast days are laid out in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, and those are the only commanded days. And that includes the Sabbath. The Lord called the weekly Sabbath a feast.
Wait, no. See, now that's the stuff that I'm talking about. Now, you just said something that is not true. The Sabbath stands alone. If you add the Sabbath to the feast days, you make them be eight. See, and then I get in trouble because I know that. You see what I'm saying?
Can we go to Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, real quick?
No. It's a Sabbath is within those feast days. But the weekly Sabbath or the Sabbath, if you add that to the feast days, you make it be eight. Now, I know how to count.
Well, see, in Leviticus, the Lord actually said that the Sabbath day was part of his feasts. I know it's not a cooking feast and an eating feast. We were going over to someone's house and like it would be like for tabernacles or something like that. But I'm just going with what the Lord had written in his word, and he called the Sabbath day a feast.
Well, it must have been maybe unleavened bread or Passover, right? Maybe not a weekly.
No, in Leviticus 23, at the end of verse 2, he says, even these are my feasts. And verse 3 starts off, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest and holy convocation.
Okay.
So he's laying that out as one of his feasts. Of course, the Day of Atonement is also considered a feast, but we know it's not an eating feast where we're actually eating, but it is a feast.
Right.
All these days in Leviticus 23 are feasts. And in other places, he even lays out the new moon as being a feast.
Okay, but was the one for atonement, was that fulfilled? Or is it still ongoing?
I don't understand what you mean by that.
Atonement, the Feast of Atonement, is that still ongoing or was that already taken care of?
Well, we have to keep it every year. But when its season, when we break down what the atonement's all about, we understand it's Messiah.
Uh-huh.
We know that Jesus fulfilled all the prophecy about him except for one, his return.
Okay. Well, then that's where we clash because the church taught me that when he resurrected, that was the atonement. People think it was the cross. The church taught me that when he resurrected, that was the atonement right there. See, I guess
the atonement was him suffering and dying, his shed blood, and his resurrection.
Well, I'm just telling you what the scriptures say that that's where the atonement lies in the resurrection. So, you know what I mean? I try and go with scripture, but when I do, you know what I mean, I have a problem. That's why I said I try and bridge a gap, you know what I mean? I understand scripture very well.
And it sounds to me, sister, like the Lord has you exactly where he wants you to be, and as long as you continue to seek by reading his word, you'll be fine. But the thing is about the whole point of this lesson was not only receiving what you're being taught or what you're hearing, but then going in and going to the scriptures to see if it's true. And we got to do that with all precepts.
Right. Right, right. Because I, you know, but a lot of times I run into people where they just tell me something, and then that's it. They, you know what I mean? I can't research it. You know what I mean? And it's very frustrating. You know what I mean? I don't mind people sharing. You know what I mean? But let me research and come to that conclusion. I don't need anybody to make the conclusion for me.
That's being weighted a certain direction by the scriptures, and you have to walk in that because that's your faith.
Well, yeah, but you know, everybody
now,
is. In,
but now, do you believe that you need to come under and stay under the shed blood of our Messiah Christ Jesus, and the way you do that is by walking a new person after you've been baptized and learned how you're supposed to walk?
Well, I think I can keep up. Yeah.
Then we have everything in common. We're one mind, one spirit, and we got it from one shepherd. We got it from Christ Jesus.
Okay.
So there's no reason to fall out over anything else. We're both doing the best we can to get under and stay under that shed blood so we can get right back to that tree of life.
Clarity. People have to have clarity because, like you said, on the Sabbath day, the only a person is only required to do is not work and to rest. So what's the problem? I mean, you know what I mean? If we rest on that Saturday and if we worship on that Sunday, what's the big deal?
Well, we're commanded to gather on that seventh day.
That's
the
not
Holy
true.
Convocation is a commandment. We're commanded to
true.
Get together on the seventh day to
see,
study and rightly divide the word of God. It's
see,
commanded.
Right
it's not an
right.
option. You can still go
this
on Sunday, but you've got to do that seventh day.
Yeah. This ain't got nothing to do with Sunday. This is where I get in trouble because I read in the law that Israel was supposed to enjoy it at home. Now, I know I read that. I'll post it. Ray will give it to you later, but I know I read that.
It does say that in all your dwellings that you're supposed to keep the Sabbath day. In other words, wherever you live, you're supposed to keep
that's
the Sabbath.
Okay. So I'm just trying to bridge the gap. That's all. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? This has been for centuries. You know what I mean? This has been for centuries. Now, if a person, it said, don't do no work. Now, the feast days, I agree. Those were quite different. They had extra added on, you know what I mean, duties that had to be performed. But, you know, they're running around here treating a weekly Sabbath as if it was a feast day. You know what I mean? And that's wrong.
Well, I'm just writing with what the book says, sister. That's all I'm writing with. And the book is very clear about what the Lord calls his feast days. I mean, I know it's not an eating feast.
Yeah,
we could just call it the Sabbath.
Weekly Sabbath. Come in here. They said, oh, I can't use the microwave. Oh, I can't get on the internet. I mean, the Sabbath was made for man. It wasn't man-made for the Sabbath. And people can't see that, and they read it in the scripture, but they still do it.
Well, you know, sister, we've got Pharisees even in this day and age, and they add and take away or... You've got the so-called oral law and all that. But if it's not written, well, I don't pay too much credence to it.
Okay, well, I was just trying to slide that in there. So, you know what I mean, just to give the church a little leverage because I know that on Saturday we're required to be at home. And, you know, and then it's a double standard when, you know what I mean, you have to take care of your family. Some people might have to work 6 days, and then they'll say, oh, okay, well, the Lord know my heart. But he knows no hours.
Absolutely the Lord knows our heart.
To the Lord. You know what I mean? I have to, you know what I mean? So I'm just saying, let's try and build and, you know what I mean, come together. Especially
Absolutely.
If we read
you know
book.
What? Maybe we can just break down things concerning the Sabbath one Sunday evening.
Yeah.
The do's and don'ts, the very basics, nothing deep, just for informational, just to put it out there.
It can be.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
That sounds good.
Absolutely. sister, it's an absolute joy and an honor to talk with you.
No, I love Christ too. You know what I mean? I just want people to know that. I love him too.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Any other questions or comments for me? Brother Paul?
No. No, sir. Thank you very much.
Sister, you have yourself an awesome evening.
You too.
Anyone else?
Anyone else? The lines are open. Okay, well, we're just gonna say, well, hey, Brother Paul and Eric, man, great job this evening. And Doris, thank you again for bringing a great question.
Yes, sir.
Great question. And making him work. Putting his brain
That's
to work.
We're
you
ministers.
Got that hamster running. You can hear that little wheel in there. That's right. Hey, that's what we're here for, sis. That's what we're here
sir.
For. You got questions? That's
Amen.
Why we're here. That's why the Lord had us read every. That's why this man did that whole lesson. Study to show yourself approved. Why? Because the whole point of him even showing that lesson is that he's supposed to be equipped to answer your questions.
That's right.
And one word of advice, when a man say, let's go to the book, don't ever say no. Don't
Amen.
Ever say no.
Yeah.
Don't ever, 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 ever for never say no. Just go into the book. Because that's why we even having this conversation is because of the word of God, which is Jesus Christ. So we got to go and look where he is, because if you listening to me or you listen to anybody else, you know, we can run off into our own nonsense. But if we stay in the ink on the pages of that book, one thing ink and paper don't do, and that's forget. And your book is going to say the same thing that mine say. So
right.
so let's whenever we get ready, say, hey, sis, open that book up. Make sure you got your book with you, because you're the one that's going to read. when you hear, we're going to make you read your book. So
that's
don't be listening at the radio show without your book in your hand.
Oh, no.
You know, you're going to make sure you got your book, because we're going to say, okay, sis, go and read this verse, just like this brother said. Let's go to the book. So that's what we're supposed to do. Every time. If there's a question about the Father or the Son, the only answer of God is in the Word of God. That's
yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So, once again, man, Brother Paul, great precept, great lesson, man.
Ah, brother, praise God.
Fellowship, man. Love
good.
That, man. Eric, wonderful
man.
Job, man. Great job with that. Looking
good
forward to hearing more from you, man. Everyone,
sure.
I want to thank everybody for their time. Want to be back here next Wednesday for the Nation of Peace with your brother Nehemiah Israel out of Minnesota, out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And also, that's right. He is under the weather, isn't he? Let's pray and hope that he feels better. And Thursday night, you want to be here. Oh, yeah, that's right. The feast is coming up. Amen. Well, to be announced. To be announced, all right? This is the feast season. So to be announced, everybody, Godspeed. We love you. Please stay tuned. Listen at the lessons. And Sister Doris, don't ever get tired of looking for the word of God. And don't ever get tired of that. Just stay in there.
Keep,
stay
ma'am,
there.
Keep asking
stay
questions.
Yes,
Absolutely.
Ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. All right, well, with that being said, everyone, as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Amen.
Read your Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Sounds of the Living Waters Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Waters. Sounds of the Living Waters. Water, radio show.
We teach the Bible. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the most high laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show.